So where should we begin? I guess, when was the last time you played in New York? Just a random thought I had. You come pretty regularly, right?
You guys know, right? When was the last time?
There's a stone. It's like, there's a stone.
Yeah, but I think I played it real since then. Yeah, maybe like a year and a half ago or something like that.
It was a while ago.
A year and a half ago. Okay, and that was at the Stone, is it?
No, I played at Roulette.
Oh, at Roulette, yeah. I'm sorry, the Stone. We hear the Stone a lot here. It's funny how there's so many parallels. The Stone House, the Stone.
Oh, right.
There's
right.
Second Stone. Street, Stone Second people. Street, First Stone. Street. There's a lot of parallels. But in any case, so at Roulette, so that was, I guess, what was the occasion for that?
I play at Roulette like every couple of years. It's sort of like a regular haunt.
Great. Yeah. Well, good. So was that also a solo?
I'm trying to remember which gig that was. I think it was a solo sharing the bill with a laptop orchestra.
Right. Mm-hmm. Great, but you come back and forth pretty regularly. So as you said, every few years at Roulette and well, great. Well, so I guess maybe we could talk a little bit about what you're doing tonight. So this is I guess you described it to me as a sort of a variety show, I guess, in a sense. Is that right?
Well, yes. And there's variety to it, so that's why we're a variety show.
Right.
Well, I'm going to start out with some pieces that I wrote that are more like my sort of avant cabaret pieces that, if you've seen me before, you know what these are like. They involve looping my voice, processing a lot of sort of playing around with words and playing along with electronic drums or electronic sounds, and they have a kind of a cabaret-ish demeanor to them, so I like to think of them as avant cabaret songs. Mm-hmm. And then Conrad Cummings has written a song for me. This will be the first time that he's heard it. Conrad wrote for me for a big collaboration I did with the Paul Drescher Ensemble in December, in which we hired 12 composers to write songs for me to sing with the ensemble, and Conrad was one of the composers. I've known Conrad for many years. He was my first electronic music teacher, and we've been in touch ever since then. So it's been delightful to now finally be sharing some art. And then I may do another song of mine. And then my thing that I've really been working on recently over the past few months is a song cycle called Song Drapes, which is a collaboration with a dead guy. Jerry Hunt is a composer who lived from 1943 to 1993, and he has kind of a cult following, a very eccentric genius, a cult-based composer. He was fascinated by numerology and religions from the Renaissance era. Based a lot of his compositions on sort of sequences of letters and numbers, mm-hmm. having to do with the names of the angels all laid out together, so that kind of thing. And when you hear his music, you don't hear that in it at all. It doesn't sound at all sort of algorithmic. It just sort of sounds like a mass of sound kind of coming and going. But it's really quite musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's like nothing like it. And these song drapes were designed originally with performance artist Karen Finley. But since then, they've just sort of taken off as beds of sound that any singer can accompany or be the star of with her own voice, lyrics, whatever. So you'll hear his sounds and my voice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So you were describing it a little bit earlier, but I'm still not sure I understand. So the piece, the musical part of it is fully composed by Jerry Hunt.
Yeah.
But what is the instruction or device that allows for the singer to, I gather, do
his
anything you want?
Yeah, his instruction is keep the pieces intact, put them in any order you want, add your own percussion. He actually instructs you to add your own percussion.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, that's not always a percussive sound. Sometimes it's like a sample of my voice or something like that. But hey, I hit something, so it's percussion.
Right.
And create any lyrics or vocalism or anything you want,
mm-hmm.
to be accompanied by these mm-hmm. song drapes.
Right. So it was Those really designed that way,
even though
it was originally written for Karen Finley,
yeah.
he imagined that it would be done by anyone
yeah,
in the future.
Yeah,
So how did you come into contact with this piece?
I was commissioned by the government of Cologne, Germany.
to
come out there, and they had been thinking about doing sort of a Jerry Hunt retrospective, and the guy who is the music cultural minister of Cologne, yes, they have not just a cultural ministry, but specifically a music minister in every little town in Germany. He's friends with the person who was Jerry's best friend and became Jerry's archivist after Jerry died. And they together wanted to put on this sort of Jerry Hunt thing. So they just invited me to do it because I was the right person.
Right. and you enjoyed it so much that you're continuing.
Yeah, so now I'm sort of, you do something once and it feels like, it always feels like a rehearsal, So it's still something I'm kind of working out and perfecting.
Right, and I'm assuming this is the first time you're doing it here in New York.
Yeah.
But has it been? Have others done it, or do you know the history of the song drapes to an extent?
I know that Shelley Hirsch did some. I'm not sure if it was along with Karen Finley or later, but Sadek put out a record in which they're both on it, and then a few other people have done it here and there. Really, nothing sort of that there's been a record of.
Excellent.
That I know about.
Excellent. Well, that all sounds wonderful. Well, it sounds great, but maybe we could take a little time to just kind of rewind a little bit and just get a little more background. I mean, I certainly have some questions. I'm curious how you arrived at this style that you've developed of, kind of that's both part theater, part song, part technology. I mean, have you always had these different sort of strains within your work? I mean, for example, I know you have musical vocal training, but did you also have theater in your background? So how did it all come together, all of this?
Pretty much the way you just described it. I mean, I have all those things. Yeah. And I just had such diverse influences growing up, and they all seemed kind of equally valid to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily like the idea of high art versus low art. And I studied traditional singing and feel that was extremely important for sort of grounding my technique, but at the same time it always felt a little bit silly to me and very limiting. Just the rules that you have to follow, I sort of found absurd. Like, Why are there only three different ways I'm allowed to hold my hands when I'm on stage? Why can't I go like this, And why do I have to have exactly the right vibrato the same way for every single note? Why can't I sing some notes without vibrato? Why can't I add my own personality to some of these songs? So after a while I realized, I'm a composer, I still love, I think the traditional repertoire is very important, and it's great, and there are people who do it very well, and I'm just better at bringing new work to life. At Oberlin, I sought out the composition students to work with them and bring new things to life, and that's when I started realizing that sort of exploring my voice was really the most interesting thing for me, and bringing new things to life was just felt like much more of an important cultural evolution thing for me to do in the world, than just sort of redoing old stuff. That got me interested in electronics because the composers were working with electronics at that time, and they were all just kind of discovering it. This was the late 80s, and it was kind of new at the college. And I just thought the sound of the electronics and the vocals together was the cat's pajamas. Like, it was just so cool, So I want to do that. And just started doing it. And then, many influences along the way. I was in a band. The band was composed of a lot of awkward, geeky men who were very uncool. So we sort of played around with this awkwardness and this they're sort of non-manly myths, like we made a lot of jokes about manliness because they weren't particularly manly.
Is this Amy X Newberg
and men?
I saw.
And I also wasn't particularly womanly, like, you know, so we just kind of did it up, like they'd wear suits and I'd wear these ball gowns and, you know, and after a while it's like, that sort of became us, you know, uh-huh. And I realized, oh, I don't look too bad in a ball gown, yeah. You know. And this whole sort of playing with, I don't know, campiness, I guess, is sort of where the cabaret part came in. Like, just, I don't know, that kind of making fun of stereotypes and making fun of cliches and not taking myself too seriously and allowing the audience to sort of banter with me and be in on the process of making the music. Because when I, like, loop, they're sort of watching me create the music. I don't know, just making it very welcoming just became kind of part of my thing.
Yeah. So you entered college more or less as a, it sounds like, you know, as a vocalist, as a, when you say traditional, we're talking opera and art
song.
So
you got
somewhere,
your Mozart and your Italian art.
So that was your direction. You were in the conservatory, as a voice major.
Right. Yeah. And at the same time, I was in the college that you can do a 5-year double degree program, and so I studied linguistics in the college, and even that is a part of what I do because I play around a lot with language.
Right, so you started getting into your own stuff with the electronics, and that led you out to Mills College.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go immediately out there after?
Yeah.
So great. And you spent, 2 years in the electronic program at Mills?
Yeah.
And then you've been in the Bay Area ever since, as you were explaining, right?
Yeah.
So it's been...
Yeah, so about 30 years. Yeah.
So at what point did you... So the setup that you're working with, so you have a... I mean, I've heard you a number of times over the years, and it seems like a fairly reasonably fixed kind of... dynamic. I mean, the kind of things you do and the tools you use. When did that all sort of solidify and become a solo experience?
Well, when I played in the band, I sort of discovered the magic of hitting things as a really fun theatrical device. I mean, it's easy, it's satisfying, and the audience can tell exactly what's happening. We were an all electronic band, and we didn't want it to be mysterious, wanted to be very clear what was happening on stage. And so people would play like percussive things that would trigger MIDI things. We were playing around with like lighting. You'd hit a pad and there'd be a sound and a light would come on, you know. And you know, I had a different drum setup back then that was very noisy and very limited. And then this drum cat thing came along in like, I don't know, early 90s or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been using it ever since because it's extremely programmable. You can do many more things than just hit a pad and have a sound. You can the pads can do chords and sequences of sounds and just all kinds of crazy stuff. And there's just really nothing more interesting that has been developed since then. So I still use it. It's my controller and it's my instrument.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, you learn to play the piano. you know, you play the piano, and you don't like keep getting a new different piano and relearning how to play your new piano every few years. So as a person playing music technology as my instrument, I don't really think it's necessary to keep upgrading all the time because I'd have to relearn it, you know?
No, of course. So.
Yeah.
So this was sometime in the 90s, I guess, or is that when
Yeah, well, that's
band,
when I started using this drum thing.
Really
yeah, and then, you know, things have evolved a little bit since then. I had a much bigger mixer. I wasn't using the computer. I had a hardware looper, I had hardware synthesizers, I was traveling with like twice as much stuff as I do now. And you know, even this is a lot. So it's been whittled way down. I'm now doing looping on my computer and triggering my sounds from there too.
Right.
So that's kind of now the sound brain. And the mixer is kind of how I tell, how I route everything to everything and how I balance out the levels between all the sounds and add processing to my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, and every song has a different mixer setup.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, great. Well, I guess what else was I going to ask you? Well, tell me about Mobius. I noticed it seems like, I'm just peeking a little bit on your, what is Mobius? I mean, you're using a lot of stuff on the computer, but that was one I'm not familiar with. I'm just curious about it. Spinning.
Mobius is free downloadable looping software. You can just all get it for free. And it's based on the hardware looper that I used to use, which was the Echoplex. But in essence, it's like the programmer took 8 echoplexes and put them sort of side by side.
8 of them.
So it has the capacity to be basically 8 separate echoplexes, which was a mono instrument, which made it very limiting for me. So now I can not only have my loops come out in stereo, but I can have them sort of running simultaneously and crossfade between them and do all kinds of fancy things I couldn't do before.
And do they synchronize, or they
you can synchronize them if you want,
or independently,
whatever you want.
Up to 8 simultaneous loops. Going.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gather we'll hear some of that at least, or
yeah.
A number of loops. A lot of looping is a big part of your.
Yeah, my stuff is not quite as loopy as it can be tonight.
But there
will be some loopiness. Yeah.
All right. Well, so you obviously have your own whole repertoire and persona and as a composer and performer. But and then you have these projects like the Jerry Hunt. But also, I want to take a little time to look back a little bit at the time you spent some time with Robert Ashley and in the Robert Ashley Company, as it were. Right.
Yeah.
So. This was also in the 90s, is that right? Or
mm-hmm.
So you were part of how many productions?
It was a set of 4 operas called Now Eleanor's Idea, and I was in 3 of those operas. And we occasionally toured just 1 or 2 of them, and sometimes we would go and do all 4 at once back to back. And people would sit through the whole thing.
Right. So that would be at a festival in Italy, for example,
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah,
where they would do the whole cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So and you did you perform around the U.S. as well to some extent? Or
yeah,
more?
We played mostly in Europe.
Mostly in Europe. I guess that was true throughout his career, right? Regardless of whatever production, it was a lot in Europe.
I think he had a wider audience in Europe.
Right,
yeah.
Definitely, and also a lot here in New York. But did you ever do any of the operas in New York? Or
we did. We did the BAM Festival.
Mm-hmm.
The
Next Wave.
Is that the only thing we did in New York? I think that was it in New York. Yeah, we played in Santa Fe. We played, where else? In California.
Right.
God, it was so long ago. I don't really remember.
Right, but it was, I guess, 20 some years ago at this point, right? And you are part of some recordings, right? I don't know the whole catalog, but I know there was some there was at least one Nunsuch release of one of those operas.
Yeah, they put out Improved. Well, actually, all of them came out. You hear my voice really sounding like me on Improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
the others, for some unfathomable reason, they just used this sort of... They didn't use the actual performers who were in it. They just gave all the parts to Sam and Jackie.
Mm.
And then there's this sort of background chorus that they took from the performances where I'm mixed in with a whole bunch of other people. So I didn't really get a chance to perform my roles in those other ones. I don't know why.
Right. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of logistical considerations with those pieces. But I'll have to listen for you more closely. I know I've heard those recordings at different times. But that's great. So a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about California. So you've been in California a long time, although you're originally from the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
right? So. I would assume that's been a pretty hospitable environment for you, the Bay Area and California. Is it still, really...
It goes in waves.
It goes in waves.
When you first come out of Mills, you're automatically part of the Mills flow
Absolutely.
Of people,
Absolutely.
Who just sort of establish themselves in the Bay Area and continue to work together. So it was already a pretty welcoming environment. And then it kind of dried up a little, and everybody moved to Europe and New York and LA. And I thought, God, I really got to get out of here, And then I sort of just stuck. I had a house where I could do my own music, and there was the whole enormous basement where I could make noise. And it's hard to give that up and come to New York and live in a little apartment and try to figure out where you can practice. So, and deal with the weather and everything. So I just kind of stuck it out, and it has gotten really interesting recently. There's this influx of young people coming out of the San Francisco Conservatory who are very creative and sort of understand, I think the economy has a lot to do with it, that as the economy gets bad, the art gets better. Because people become more creative about how to just get their stuff out there without relying on other people having money. So these kids getting out of the conservatory are not under the impression they're going to get symphony jobs. They're just coming out and instantly starting their own ensembles and commissioning people, or playing in clubs, doing a lot of sort of crossover stuff that invites a wider audience, starting their own festivals. There's a big improv scene in Oakland that I'm also a part of. I'm now doing a lot more improv than I used to. So it's a really, there's a lot. There are a lot of great ensembles that I've been composing for. That's sort of my other life, is as an actual composer, where I like write notes on paper and give them to people to play. So that's actually been my main gig over the past like 6-7 years.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been writing for just different kind of instrumental groups, and with you involved, or just straight up kind of?
Sometimes I'm in it, sometimes I'm not. I've written for choruses, small vocal groups, bass clarinet duet, Paul Drescher ensembles, one you might know. Just recently got a commission for the San Francisco Chamber Orchestra, 30-piece orchestra, for 30-piece orchestra and processed string quartet and me with my electronics.
Nice.
I should start working on it. So a huge variety of things, which is, it's like every time I get a new commission, I feel like I'm kind of back in school, just learning how to do everything from the beginning, because I didn't actually study composition. So I'm just kind of having to study it as I go along and understand what are the capabilities of these instruments and how do you properly score for them and play something that's, within their range, but fun and interesting, that stretches their boundaries a little bit, because I like to do that with people.
Excellent. So I guess some of this, are some of these recent compositions documented? I mean, you brought some CDs with you, and you have a lot of recordings.
One of them is my song cycle for 3 cellists and electronics, and voice.
Excellent. So Amy brought some CDs. They're over there on the table if anyone is interested, for $10, right? Excellent. And what other things are on the horizon, for you in the near future?
In the very near future, some solo gigs, some improv gigs, 2 compositions coming up. I'm writing for a vocal ensemble, and somebody has asked me to set her. She's working on a musical theater piece, and she gave me 1 song that she wants set to music, so okay, I'll do that. And then just hunkering down and working on the big orchestra piece. And I also, kind of in the other direction, and really wanting to give up all that for a while and go back into my studio and just work with sound, which is the thing that got me interested in all this in the first place.
Sound.
Just make sound. Just make interesting, weird sound.
Sounds good. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for talking with me. And I guess we should get started.
All right.
So just the plan for tonight, it's kind of 2 parts. I guess a short intermission, not a full blown.
It's not a real intermission. It's just enough for me to sort of switch my technology a little bit. Yeah. So it's like maybe 25 minutes and then a little tiny break and then another 25 minutes, if that. I'm not even sure if that long.
Great. So, and you'll tell us what you're, as we go, or not, what you're playing, or at least give us some indication. But
were there questions?
Yeah, questions.
I did have a question about the sound cat.
The drum cat.
The drum cat. Are they still making that? Do you have a concern about it breaking down?
There's a guy who repairs the pads. I hope he's still around. No, they don't. They don't. I don't think they make them. There's a company that has taken over called Alternate Mode. And you can still find them. I mean, if you go on the internet, you can find them. But I don't think they're making them new anymore. But they're around.
Well, good. We'll take a moment to just change the lighting and help yourself to a drink.